Board of Trustees is, we're back in regular session. Do we need to take a roll call?
Trustee Curtin?
Aye, yes.
Trustee Joyce?
Yes.
Trustee Leek?
Yes.
Trustee Reyna?
Yes.
Trustee Smith?
Here.
Trustee Young?
Here.
Trustee Zoller?
Here.
Before we get started, Ms. Ferrer, at the last board meeting, I pointed out to some of the individuals in the audience that we are inside in a building. This is our board meeting, which is open to the public. And we requested that, as a sign of respect, people take their hats off. So at this point, I would respectfully request that people with a hat, please remove them.
Ordinarily, I wouldn't wear a hat at this meeting. This is a protest, so you can consider yourself on notice that this is a form of protected speech.
Attorney Fred, you want to begin with the business of the board?
Yes. The first item on the action agenda is a resolution amending Article 5, Section 3 of the bylaws. The resolution as amended revises the term of office for the chair and vice chair from 2 years to 1 year. It is our opinion that no violation of the state statute has occurred at present. It is necessary for us to reconcile the bylaws with the state statute. Since this is a first reading, we recommend that the board suspend its own requirement for a second reading and take immediate action to consider the approval of the resolution. And the resolution has been previously circulated and I'm sure read by all of the board members. Ooh. Is there a resolution, is there a motion to suspend the second reading?
So moved.
Second.
Trustee Curtin?
Yes.
Trustee Joyce?
Yes.
Trustee Leek?
Yes.
Trustee Reyna?
Yes.
Trustee Smith?
Yes.
Trustee Young?
Yes.
Trustee Zoller?
Yes.
Now I will accept a motion to adopt the amendment of the resolution that has been previously adopted, which, as I indicated, revises the term of office for the chair and vice chair from a term of 2 years to a term of 1 year. Is there a motion?
I so move.
Second.
Trustee Curtin?
Yes.
Trustee Joyce?
Yes.
Trustee Leek?
Yes.
Trustee Reyna?
Yes.
Trustee Smith?
Yes.
Trustee Young?
Yes.
Trustee Zoller?
Yes.
We will now conduct the election. Are there any nominations for the office of chair of the board of trustees of Chicago State University?
I would nominate Anthony Young.
I second.
Are there any other nominations? Is there a motion to close the nomination?
So moved. Move.
Second.
Trustee Curtin?
Yes.
Trustee Joyce?
Yes.
Trustee Leek?
Yes.
Trustee Reyna?
Yes.
Trustee Smith?
Yes.
Trustee Young?
Yes.
Trustee Zoller?
Yes.
We will now distribute ballots to the board members to sign, indicating their choice for whom they would like to vote for chairman of the Board of Trustees. And in the interest of time, we will now proceed with the nomination for the office of vice chair. Are there any nominations?
I move Trustee Joyce.
Second.
Is there a second?
Second.
Are there any other nominations? Is there a motion to close the nominations?
So moved.
I will now distribute the ballot for the election of vice chair of the Board of Trustees of Chicago State University. And if you're returning the ballots for chair. While the ballots for vice chair are being distributed, I will count the votes that were received by Anthony Young as chairman. The ballots are anonymous.
Trustee Curtin?
We have two ballots.
Uh, Trustee Curtin?
What am I voting on?
Oh, this is to close the roll for the vice chair nominations.
Yes.
Trustee Curtin?
Yes.
Trustee Joyce?
Yes.
Trustee Leek?
Yes.
Trustee Reyna?
Yes.
Trustee Smith?
Yes.
Trustee Young?
Yes.
Trustee Zoller?
I have now tabulated the balance for chairman of the Board of Trustees, and the nomination of Anthony Young is unanimous, and Anthony Young is now deemed to be chairman of the board for a term of 1 year. I've now been presented with the ballots for the office of vice chair. There are 7 votes for James Joyce as vice chair of the Board of Trustees, and I will now declare James Joyce as vice chairman of the Board of Trustees of Chicago State University. And I will turn the meeting over to the newly elected chairman.
Thank you. I think the next item on the agenda is to approve the minutes from our May 9th, 2014 meeting. Do I have a motion to approve?
So moved.
I'll second.
Trustee Curtin?
Yes.
Trustee Joyce?
Yes.
Trustee Leek?
Yes.
Trustee Reyna?
Yes.
Trustee Smith?
Yes.
Trustee Young?
Yes.
Trustee Zoller?
Yes.
Now we have an issue regarding executive session minutes. Would you explain that, please?
Yes, Chairman. Per the Open Meetings Act, the board must review closed session twice a year. The board has reviewed the closed session from the meetings of December 2013, March 2014, and May 2014. It is a decision of the board to have the minutes from those closed sessions closed.
So move.
Second.
Trustee Curtin?
Yes.
Trustee Joyce?
Yes.
Trustee Leek?
Yes.
Trustee Reyna?
Yes.
Trustee Smith?
Yes.
Trustee Young?
Yes.
Trustee Zoller?
Yes.
At this time, we'll have our president's report.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. As you are aware, this May we had our 354th graduation. We graduated more than 800 students, which reinforces or reaffirms the fact that Chicago State University has on average a 58% graduation. We graduate 58% of all African Americans in the city of Chicago who get a bachelor's degree from a public university. That impact is still in place. Chicago State is continuing to have an impact throughout the university, throughout the city, and as our diversity grows, we're reaching out to other communities throughout the city. As a number of you may have seen, Chicago State has been in the newspaper quite a bit in the last couple of months, and that is with regards to the Obama Library. We have put together a committee of faculty, staff, community, and administrators, and have put forth a document in response to the request for qualifications that has made us competitive as we seek the position to be able to reply in September for a response to submit a proposal for the Obama Library. I'm very proud of the faculty, the staff, and the students who have put forth this document, and I think it is, you can see it, it is available in the library, and it is truly a quality document. And we've gotten very positive news coverage on that for the last couple of months. I'm very proud to announce that, as you are aware, approximately a year ago, we received our 10-year accreditation. It was covered in a very positive way by a number of sources, news sources. and it was a full 10-year accreditation. With it came two monitoring reports. One monitoring report was due in June of 2014. The monitoring report was worked on by a number of faculty, approximately 50 faculty, students, administrators, and staff over a period of a year. The monitoring report was submitted. This report is extremely important, and we got a response from HLC. I'm glad to report that the Higher Learning Commission has read the report and stated that all is appropriately being addressed at Chicago State. We passed the monitoring report, and we will now not be in a situation to be addressed or monitored by HLC until 2016, which is when the second one is due. So I really want to applaud and thank the faculty, the staff, students, and administrators who put forth this document. The last item is something that, you know, Chicago State takes great pride in. It's partly exhibited by the matter of fact of what you just saw, our chairman being elected for another year as chairman of the board. In Chicago, there's something called the Centennial Award for the Cook County Bar Association. This award is given to members who have displayed an extraordinary level of distinguished service and community engagement in the name of social justice. The Centennial Award also reflects the recipient's commitment to paving the way for the next generation of lawyers and judges. Only six people over the past 100 years have demonstrated and have met the criteria to receive this Centennial Award. A large part of why this award was given is because Judge Anthony Young, played an absolutely key role in passing legislation that made it possible for judges, for a more diverse judge population to be seated throughout the entire, I think it was Cook County or the state?
Cook County.
Throughout the entire Cook County. And the diversity that you see in the judgeship throughout Cook County today is directly responsible. It's in direct response to the legislative action and vision that Chairman Young has put forth. The award was given last Saturday at the 100th year anniversary of the Cook County Bar Association. I would like for us to acknowledge and to share with you the award that the chairman was given.
Chairman.
Huh?
All right, Chairman.
Did I correctly state that as to the legislation or something that was passed?
Yes, you did.
Okay. So thank you on behalf of the lawyers. Thank you on behalf of the judges that we have on the bench today in terms of the diversity in both ethnic diversity and gender diversity. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
With that is my report. Thank you.
Now we will begin our academic and student affairs report. Trustee Joyce.
Dr. Bernard Rowan will report on the action items to be presented. We have also Dean Canis. We have six resolutions to be voted on today. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Joyce, the first action item is to request board approval of a grant to increase chemistry and physics graduates at Chicago State University in the amount of $611,692. Should you have questions, Dr. Christy Martis from the Chemistry and Physics Department, Dr. Canis are here.
Any questions on the part of the trustees? No, sir, we can go on to the second resolution.
The second item is to ask board approval of the TRIO Upward Bound Program, a longstanding program at Chicago State Grant in the amount of $517,500. The PI, Ms. Jasmika Cook, is here as well.
Any questions, trustees? Hearing none, we'll go on to the next resolution.
The third item is to request board approval to accept a grant award from the U.S. Department of Education for our STEM Center Education and Research at CSU in the amount of $569,400, year four of the four-year grant.
Any questions?
Can I go back and ask a question about the TRIO Upward Bound?
Upward Bound.
I just want to know, how many TRIO Upward Bound students do we have at this time?
Good afternoon. We currently have 109 students.
And of those 109 students, do we know how many will stay at Chicago State and how many will go elsewhere? Do we know that at this time?
That's an excellent question. At this time, we do not know. Because TRIO is a federally funded program that requires us to provide access and exposure to post-secondary education in general. Therefore, we are not in a position to direct students to Chicago State, but of course, we expose our students to all of the wonderful opportunities here at the university.
And how long will the students actually live on campus this summer?
2 weeks.
When will that begin?
The summer program begins July 1. The last 2 weeks of the six-week summer program, they will be housed here on campus.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, Dr. Rowan, continue.
Thank you. The fourth item is to request board acceptance of a grant award from the U.S. Department of Education entitled Predominantly Black Institutions Program Formula Grant, $250,000. To continue work with the Center for Urban Agriculture, Ecology, and Alternative Energy over on Cottage Grove.
Any questions, trustees? I guess not.
The fifth item is to ask the board to approve a grant contract from the City of Chicago Department of Family and Support Services entitled Evidence-Based Trauma Practice in the amount of $2,635,706. The PI for this grant is Dr. Mikhail Rashid, Chair of the Social Work Department, who is here should you have questions.
Is that amount of money for 1 year?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Well, since we don't have a trauma center, what are we going to do?
Dr. Rashid?
Can the doctor tell us what we'll do to earn that money?
I can explain it if Dr. Rashid has left. We have 26 full-time employees who travel around the state and inform social workers, school counselors about the effects of trauma. And they're located in all areas of the state of Illinois, actually. This is kind of a pass-through grant through the state so that the various social workers around the state can be informed about trauma. Mental trauma.
Are those 26 people, are they all employees of the university?
Yes, they are. And this is, I believe, the third or fourth year in a row we've had this grant. And it's an annual allocation to us.
Thank you. Okay. And the last one?
Sixth action is to request board approval of a grant from the Department of Health and Human Services entitled Urban Mindfulness and Addictions Research in the amount of $447,619. This is year two of the five-year grant.
Any questions or comments from board members? Okay, if there are no further questions or comments from the trustees, entertain a motion to approve.
So move.
All of them?
second that motion.
Trustee Curtin?
Yes.
Trustee Joyce?
Yes.
Trustee Lee?
Yes.
Trustee Reina?
Yes.
Trustee Smith?
Yes.
Trustee Young?
Yes.
Trustee Zala?
Yes.
That concludes the Academic and Student Affairs Committee report. Thank you.
We will now have our Finance and Audit Committee report. Trustee Zala?
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. My name is Larry Pinkleton. For the record, I am Interim Vice President of Administration and Finance. I will try to keep my comments brief this afternoon. You should have in front of you a copy of the university's cash position report, which was updated on June 26th. Briefly, the current cash that we've got in the bank today is amounts to $15.3 million rounded. Looking at the restricted cash that we have on deposit of approximately $4.6 million, we've got an unrestricted cash balance of approximately $10.6 million. Over the next 90 days, our short-term cash projections are estimated at $49.8 million. In that same time period, our expenditures are estimated at $47.9 million. And so factoring in the unrestricted cash balance, the projected collections, and the projected expenditures, we're left with a balance of approximately $12.5 million. Looking at the state appropriation status, we have a fiscal year 14 budget of $42.2 million. To date, through the month of May, we have received from the state approximately $31.8 million, representing 75% of the state's fiscal year 14 commitment to Chicago State, the balance being approximately $10.4 million. In that same time period, we have in fact billed the state $41 million, representing 97% of our state appropriation. Any questions concerning the university's cash position?
In terms of the money the state owes us, in theory, that should be paid by June 30th, correct?
In theory, that's correct.
When do you actually expect it?
Well, the reality is, based on the last 2 years, the state has historically gotten us completely trued up in the October-November time period. Since we are at 75% through May, it appears that we might be running ahead of that schedule.
Yeah.
Okay, so with any luck, based on the state's ongoing attention to fiscal prosperity, fiscal management, we would be achieving a full payout well before the October-November time period. Any other questions concerning the university's cash position? Okay, moving on. Administration and Finance would like to bring forth five resolutions. Trustee Zolar, would you like me to discuss these independently of each other or en masse?
En masse, please.
Okay. The most significant resolution here really covers the fiscal year 2015 time period. We have completed our internal assessment based on the university's revenue projection of tuition and fees going into 2015, in addition to having the 2015 state appropriation budget being passed and is now final. This brings us to the point where we are able to recommend going into the fiscal year 2015 time period starting July 1st. A cumulative budget that is comprised of general state funds, the income fund, in addition to our non-appropriated dollars of $95.5 million. At this point in the process, this would be considered a preliminary fiscal year 2015 plan. The university will, over the next several months, endeavor to look at the exact enrollment, is on campus for the summer, and to the extent there are any revisions necessary based on the estimates that we brought forth for summer enrollment, we may consider revising our fiscal year 2015 budget accordingly. If that is the case, we will bring forth another resolution in the September time period with the appropriate update. Any questions concerning the 2015 plan? Okay. Second component of the fiscal year 2015 plan covers mandatory fees. The university would like to recommend a 7% increase in our mandatory fees, covering several categories as listed in your packet. Chicago State University has not, in fact, increased mandatory fees over the last several years. So this would be the first time that we are attempting to take a step forward in aligning our mandatory fee revenue stream against the operational increases that the university has faced over the last several years. Any questions concerning the mandatory fee recommendation? Okay, moving on. The third resolution covers the 2016 preliminary operating and capital budget request. Key word here is preliminary. Part of the IBHE requirement is for us to give an advanced look on what our capital requirements that covers deferred maintenance capital for the 2016 time period. This is intended to give the state legislature a first blush look at what our capital needs will be during that time period. So you have a resolution in front of you that covers those three categories: capital, operating ask, in addition to deferred maintenance. Are there any questions concerning the preliminary 2016 operating and capital budget request? Moving on. The fourth resolution covers the Illinois Municipal Clerk training. We have a state mandate to have an employee recognized as our municipal clerk. This is actually a requirement which is, for all intents and purposes, defunct, but as long as the state mandate is still in place, we are still required to identify an individual as a municipal clerk. And so we're bringing forth a recommendation to have the university's executive director and controller be appointed a municipal clerk. Any questions concerning this resolution? The final resolution that we'd like to bring forth is for the student health fee. We have an entity on campus that is a revenue generating auxiliary operation that provides health services to the university. The resolution that you have in front of you is intended to recognize the fact that the university would like to expand services to the university community in the health field. And so this is a first step forward to align our revenue with the actual cost associated with running the operation. Over the last several years, there has been an increased demand for health services on campus, and this is an attempt to recognize that demand by ensuring that the operation is staffed accordingly. Any questions concerning the student health fee?
So will there be services provided after this resolution that were not provided before?
I'm going to ask my colleague, Dr. Lisa Young, to come up and articulate the specifics.
Good morning, trustees. For the record, my name is Dr. Lisa Young. I'm the Health Center Director. Currently, we've had to cut back on some of our providers because we can't meet budget. Originally, we were able to generate our own revenue and staff our own people and, you know, provide services, equipment, buy everything we need. But now things are starting because of enrollment and other issues. We've had to cut back on some of our staff. And then we're also competing in the community for the health professionals who work locally at some other places that pay them higher rates. So we had to cut back some of our days and some of our operations in order to just keep some things going. And we'd like to plan for the future as we go forward, and Douglas Hall, as we move forward and they expand on Douglas Hall, we need to start planning for our future operations and being ready for that.
I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
So is that, you kind of alluded to it, is that cost effective? If you've had, if you have local practitioners in the neighborhood, is it effective for us to have our own site that may cost more and have over?
No, it doesn't cost us more. Actually, we generally we can run a report and we can show, like, we have like health insurance, right, you know, where they go out into the community, and when you compare our they can run a report, the insurance, and if you compare what we see on campus, because students who come on campus to the health center, their deductible is waived, and also it's considered like in network for them, and so the rate is lower, the cost is lower for what we charge and what the general public charges. And I wish I had that report with me, but there is a report that can, it's a utilization report that's provided by the insurance, and our costs are less, much less.
So when our students pay their tuition, is that a part of the payment that they're making for their medical insurance?
Well, it's two fees. First of all, the health center also, not only does it just provide the services for the students, but we maintain the records for the state of Illinois for the immunization, and just act as an advocate for the students on other issues. But it's both. So when they're on campus, they can utilize the health center, they have the immunizations that we provide, and students have to have their physicals for all the programs, screenings for the resident hall, all those things when they can't go into the community because they charge them so much more. And just in case something like on campus, when they need us to act as an advocate for health promotion, health prevention, some of those other things, we do like the testing for STD, HIV, all of that, which they can do on campus and they don't have to go out into the community to do.
Any other questions concerning the student health fee resolution? If not, this concludes our report.
Mr. Pinkleton, I just want to thank you for doing an excellent job at putting all of these reports together for us. Thank you. If there are no other questions, may I ask for a motion to adopt all of the resolutions, please?
So moved.
Second.
Trustee Curtin?
Yes.
Trustee Joyce?
Yes.
Trustee Leek?
Yes.
Trustee Raina?
Yes.
Trustee Smith?
Yes.
Trustee Young?
Yes.
Trustee Zahra?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We will now hear from the Legislative and Human Resources Committee.
Good afternoon, trustees. Farrah Muscadin, Director of Intergovernmental Affairs. I just want to give you a brief update on what's going on in Springfield. The legislature did adjourn on May 31st. We fared very well in our FY15 appropriation. Basically, all the public institutions were kept flat from FY14, which is very good in this economic climate. We also received $1.6 million for scholarships, which is, we received that last year, and we hope to receive it going forward. And we also were able to reinstate the $307,000 grant that goes to the College of Pharmacy. So overall, we did very well legislatively. We were able to work together with the other public universities to repeal an outdated act, which called for the high school feedback system. It had been an issue, I think an immaterial audit finding in the past. So the bill, the legislation to repeal that act is now sitting on the governor's desk. We anticipate that he will sign it, and that will eliminate a potential audit finding going forward. In regards to our Metro project, the Metro project is going forward. I just received an update from Metro officials in that the RFP, they anticipate the RFP for architects for the design of the station as well as other stations to conclude in August. And then after that, they will obviously move forward with the design. Obviously, we have a huge stake in this, but we really just want to make sure that the ball keeps moving. And so I tend to check in with Metro pretty frequently to make sure that they didn't forget about our station. The other good news about Metra is that it used to be a flag stop. Effective the 29th, Sunday, it will no longer be a flag stop. It'll be a regular stop at 95th Street. So we're really excited about that because that obviously benefits our students, staff, faculty, the community. And so we really are excited that they took that step to do that. So the numbers obviously will come in for usage, and it'll obviously substantiate the need to upgrade the station, but we will definitely keep a watch on Metro to ensure that this project keeps moving forward. We were hoping for a capital appropriation bill this year because we had several projects in the hopper for it, and unfortunately it didn't pass in May. But I do think that after the election in January, particularly when they address the state income tax issue, is when this issue of capital funding will arise again. And if it does, I'm very confident that we will receive additional funding for the Westside campus, additional funding for our daycare center, and I believe we requested funding for Douglas Hall for the virtual hospital. So our requests are in. We just really need the legislature to pass it. So they are aware of what we're asking for, and I'm pretty confident in saying that if a bill does move forward, that our ask will be in there. And I think that just generally speaking, we, as a state institution, we continue to maintain contact with our state, local, and federal partners. I think it's important that we continue to foster those relationships. We have and we will. And then we just look forward to continuing to improve our presence in Springfield and federally. As you see today, just a renewal of several federal grants. We're going to have a big push to increase federal dollars because obviously we need outside dollars because our state dollars are very limited. So we will be very aggressive from that perspective. If there are any other questions, that concludes my report.
Do we expect anything to happen that will affect the university in the veto session? Either possibly more money coming in on some of those capital projects, or will that wait till January?
Well, I think that, I honestly think that it will probably wait till January because after January 1st, the legislature needs a simple majority. In veto session, they still need a supermajority to pass a bill. And so, and the income tax is key. Part of the reason why the Capitol bill didn't move forward is because the votes weren't there to extend the income tax, but they do have to address it at some point, and more likely than not, it will be after the election. But at this point, I find it, I would think it's unlikely that they would address a Capitol bill in veto session. I think it'll be more likely in January during lame duck session.
I know we have the same lobbying firm representing us in Washington, but is there a different member of the firm represented in Washington now since the recent election?
I talked to three of the lawyers from Barnes and Thornburg. So generally speaking, it's Richard Boykin, and then Nicole James, and Craig Brookhart, I think his last name is. And he's pretty much based, I believe, in D.C. So those are the three attorneys that I deal with most of the part. My go-to person in the firm is Nicole, and she is very helpful in kind of helping us with setting up meetings and getting grant information. But I mean, I can always still contact Richard. I actually just spoke to him last week. So we still utilize Richard. But what I like about having a firm is that we have access to all their lawyers. So for example, when we did our legislative trip in DC, one of their lawyers who works on Latino issues was very helpful in helping us from that perspective. And so she actually went to meetings with Dean Canis. So we were able to kind of divide and conquer with all the legislative meetings that we had because Dr. Watson and I had several, and we had several deans go with lawyers from the firm to their meetings. So I think that's one definite benefit of having representation by a firm.
Well, we were all very familiar with Richard, and he used to come to our meetings. And I asked the question because if there's somebody else from the firm you're working with more now that Richard has been elected to the Cook County Board, that perhaps they could come to one of our meetings and we'd have a chance to meet who's representing us in Washington.
So I have to apologize. They are more than willing to come to board meetings. I told them they didn't have to come. So I will ask them to come to the September board meeting. So please, that was my fault. But they have always come to our board meetings, but I told them that I would report on what they were doing. So, but I will make sure that they're there in September. That's not a problem at all.
Thank you.
Thank you, trustees.
Any more questions?
Before we hear from our student trustee, I'd like to take this opportunity to give our heartfelt thanks from me personally and from every member of the board for his service this past year. This will be his last meeting. He has graduated and is moving on, even though I doubt he'll ever totally leave the university. But we want to congratulate him on his graduation and thank him for his service this past year. And now we'll have his last report.
Okay, great. Well, first of all, like I've begun every meeting here, I just want to take first time to thank God that I'm actually here to give a speech and to be on this board with you and to serve. I'm very proud, I'm very humbled, I'm very honored to be around so many wonderful people, including the people in the audience. We have no differences when we all agree that this is a student-first university. And that's a reminder, not a chastisement, that as long as you remain student-first focused, you'll increase alumni contributions, and you'll also increase the impact that we have globally on this earth. What we take and what we learn here, we can implement and impact our community first, and we can start doing that here at CSU. So one of the things that I wanted to say was that my mission as student trustee here has always been to eliminate the disparities that I have studied in my Master's of Public Health program. And we know that the cure for everything is education. And so what I have always attempted to do is go out into the community and preach and teach what I taught and learned here at CSU, which is how we can overcome that. I did this by marching with Congressman Gutierrez, being in the Puerto Rican parade, recruiting, talking. You know, the wonderful thing about this campus is that it's small enough to get a really good political education. But those classrooms and the faculty, especially faculty on behalf of all of the students, I would want to say thank you. Thank you for your passion. Thank you for coming here and teaching us and going over and beyond the call of duty that you do. And that is shown because you're our role models. And so by us graduating and going on into the world and changing policies and doing assessments and having some kind of level of enforcement when we develop all that, all those programs, we begin to change that you guys role modeled for us. This year has been a year of many challenges and obstacles that we've overcome, and it has taken this whole community to help students like myself and the students that I represent to have to overcome those being the commute to CSU, dealing with all the problems that we have at home, and everybody knows what those are because they're all similar. There's nothing new under the sun. But it took a group effort to graduate all of the students. The 348 in the fall and the 540 in the spring that made up doctoral, graduate, professional, and undergraduate, I think that on behalf of the students, I would want to say I appreciate all of the efforts. One of the things that I wanted to charge the board with before I left that I really wanted to get by is I'm going to go my public health route now. And having been a member of the American Public Health Association for 2 years and presented abstracts there, I have to tell you what I've learned about research that students like myself have done here is that everyone is going to be suffering from some type of disease in the future, right? And this is the perfect time for us to start paving that way for the year 2050, a short 36 years away, to start eliminating that disease progression. The mayor of Boston eliminated all soda and all high calorie, low nutrition vending machines from any public place. I would charge you that say
let's be bold and make an effort and get rid of it already. I know it's tough, it tastes good, that's because it's marketed, it's made to taste good. But this is how we're going to help people. Avoid diabetes, obesity, and a higher disease burden. I would also say that we need to initiate and implement, you know, a plan to achieve more diversity on this university. My research focused on mainly Latinos, and we know in 2050 they will be the highest disease burden, largest ethnic minority, majority, and that's a problem. That's a problem because medical care costs are just going up. So you're gonna get that burden because you're gonna pay for it whether you like it or not. So here at CSU, in a proactive, preventative public health approach, I would like to have the support of the board, you know, in saying, can we institute that? Because this is about saving lives. You know, I know there's a lot of differences on this campus. I've seen it all. It's all been personal. How can it not be personal? In one aspect, I respect all the faculty. In one way, I respect all these people here. But, you know, this is what it's all about, us students not fighting, right? Every day, people die. We can curtail violence because what comes out of your mouth can either prevent violence or harm to others, or what goes into your mouth can prevent cancer or any type of disease. This is what really we should be focusing on, because if you don't get it, whatever strategies and tactics anybody here is using is ultimately not working. So I would ask you, not plead with you, ask you, go to the table, get rid of all of your differences, come to your work, unload your problems at home, and come here and serve the students like we pay you to. And I mean that in a good way. We pay you to teach us. So why would we pay anybody to treat us bad or not teach us well? But in reality, this is a larger problem that's not just on this community, but having discussed these topics with other Board of Trustee members that were student members at other universities and other states where I gave my abstracts, we came to the same conclusion. This is not just here, it's everywhere. And it's an epic proportion. We have low graduation rates in high school, so you're gonna have low graduation rates in college. Right? What are you really focusing on and doing to prevent communities like ours that are highly and disproportionately affected by disparities to graduate everybody? Because this will serve you one or two ways. We have a broken system of Medicare that is pay as you go. So if you don't have people in your community getting higher paying jobs, they're not going to pay into it. And so you will bear that brunt. And second of all, what's wrong with helping? Did everybody forget a little thing we learned a long time ago called love one another? I mean, are our differences too strong? I don't think so. I really don't think so. You know, I just want to leave that there. I don't want to preach too long. But this is what I've learned here from you all faculty, some of you sitting in the audience right now, some of us that may have differences, but they're not that great, right? I still admire you. I still reflect on what I've learned. And I'm just charging you to do what's right for the students. We need to graduate more students, and we need to take care of the students so that they will make contributions. Now, before I end, I want to say one thing for the record. Well, this is all on the record. It is not acceptable when a student trustee asks for concerns and issues to be addressed since March 24th to never have received that, because that gives me the air of arrogance. If I asked you for concerns and issues to be addressed, and I'm talking to whoever's in the pharmacy department that did not hear that call, all right? I'm gonna put you out there, because I have a report to give to the students that will not be complete because they decided not to address the concerns and issues to this student trustee, board of trustee member, okay? You must answer those concerns and issues, okay? Last, not least, everybody here, President Watson, thank you so much for what you do for the students. I want to thank everybody here. You all know who you are. Thank you so much for being transparent, for meeting us, for talking with us, to just being open to our provost, to Cherie, Dr. Young, Wanda, all of you. The students appreciate all your efforts. We graduated, but we give back. So, and I want to thank my mom and my dad also for the support, the loving support. Again, it was an honor. Today's a bittersweet day for me because I came in here as a, you know, as an undergrad and as a graduate student, and now I'm a graduated, newly minted MPH that's going to go work in our communities and do what we must, right? And do what we must. We got to save some people. All right? Thank you so much. This will end my report.
Do any other board members have any other matters that need to be addressed? If not, we'll open up for public comment. I'd ask the public to remember to please keep your remarks to 2 minutes.
Testing, 1, 2, 3. Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Francesca Phillips, and I will be mindful of the time. I am a United States Air Force veteran. I was stationed overseas and stateside. My job in the Air Force was plan, scheduling, and documentation, PS&D. We had to coordinate and communicate with pilots, maintenance crew, and schedulers to be mission ready. Commissioned officers and non-commissioned officers with many years of experience, some with a few years of experience, would challenge schedulers, and we would have disagreements. However, we had technical orders, and basically it is written in a technical order, and we stood on the printed words. Communication and coordination was key. After my Air Force career, I went back home to Chicago to attend CSU. My first major here was creative writing, and then I switched to the Communications, Media, Arts, and Theater, known as CMAT, and I eventually switched to the ICP. Long story short, I was also a program director for WCSU Radio, so I know how valuable communication is. All the while I was pursuing my degree, I was a parent policy counsel and on the board of directors for the ANSA Prevention. I was actually a president, and we would review and approve amended budgets. I was clearly a part of the budgetary process, and I approved the hirings and at times terminations of teachers and staff. As a president of the policy council, I provided strong leadership, and I advocated for those who mattered. Last but not least, I have never seen two things. One, the righteous forsaken. Somebody say amen. Amen. Two, I have never seen such lack of communication and the shared governance, the poor shared governance and decision making, as well as poor leadership. If the shoe fits, wear it, Cinderella. I believe that we can have real change that we can believe in. As a ICP, soon-to-be graduate, I need one class for a basic math class to graduate. That's what I was told. Sadly, I've been told I needed 3 or 4 more classes. Although I've signed the contract, it is written, and Dr. Martin and Dr. Nelly signed off on this contract, I'm still being told that I need additional classes. Long story short, in my final 30 seconds, after going back and forth trying to talk to the provost, trying to schedule an appointment with you, Dr. Watson, I can never do so. You know, I had to talk to Dr. Bernie and also the attorney, Constance Wright, because I needed petitions. I needed paperwork signed. I needed clarification. When I did speak to the provost, she actually pointed fingers and asked me, did Dr. Martin send me? I politely told her, when you point a finger, how many points back at you, kids? 3. Anyway, so long story short, it was after, you know, I'm very progressive and persistent, and after I finally went back and forth and I presented my contract, I was decided that I only needed 1 math class and 2 credit hours, which university told me that would be so kind and pay. It's not just the money. My time is a resource. Yes, we do have the graduates, but ICP that graduates are being told after they graduate that they need to come back and take additional classes. Last 10 seconds. My hope is that these charges also against Ja'Kari Miller and Willie Preston are dropped. If you have ears, hear this message. Everything I put my hands to, it prospers. Truth will be revealed and justice will prevail. for your sake, I hope you are on the right side of justice, because if not, it may cost you your freedom, not to mention your souls. Truth has been spoken, and instead of allowing people to burn down the house, let's help them tear off the roof.
All right.
Amen. Amen. Somebody said all right. Thank you. Cheers.
My name is, can you hear me? Am I coming through? My name is John Bolter. I'm an adjunct professor in the Department of Biological Sciences. And I'm here to talk. First of all, let me reiterate that I'm wearing this hat in protest of the arrest of Jokari Miller at the last board meeting, which was the second board meeting at which a student was arrested, basically for defying the administration and disagreeing with the way things are run on campus. I'm in here in support of them and their rights to do that. Okay, some bad choices have been made here, I think, at this university. A fateful choice was made in the fall of 2009 when the board of directors at that time, I don't think any of you were on the board at that time, decided to hire President Watson over the objections of the faculty search committee and several other people. As a result of that, Dr. Watson has made some decisions which again have not been very good, like trying to shut down freedom of speech on the campus, the faculty blog, students trying to object to the way the student government is manipulated by the administration on this campus. And finally, there was a decision made at the May 9th meeting to make the wearing of a hat a criminal offense. Dr. Watson, you had the choice of wishing Jokari Miller well at having finally graduated and made it this far and wishing him success as he goes on to graduate school, but instead you chose to go a different direction. These choices we make have consequences. As a result, he was not able to cross the stage in front of his children and his parents and receive a diploma. So now you have another choice here with regard to Jokari and Willie Preston. You have a choice of dropping these charges. It's not too late to do that. That'd be setting a different kind of example, which would be a much more positive example, showing much better leadership than you have at this point.
Good afternoon, folks. My name is Nicholas Mann. I'm a second-generation former student here at Chicago State University. My mother graduated from the College of Nursing. My little brother graduated from the College of Education. I'm also one of the founding members of the Independent Student Union here on campus. We started ISU to fight against the corruption, racism, and empathy on campus, and to make a better learning environment for everyone at Chicago State University. 7 years later, I return and I've seen it's got nothing but worse. Under the former president, Dr. Norrell Daniel, this university started a downward course that is nearly complete under the leadership of Dr. Wayne Watson. I watched as enrollment of this great university dropped 25% under Dr. Watson's tenure. I watched as the racist and abusive policies of this campus bookstore, which we first started out our first campaign to fight against, continue to run wild, and students still not allowed to be able to pick up their own textbooks. I've watched as dedicated professors and staff who disagree with this administration's way that they want to go with things run off, harassed, or fired. I watched as students like Willie Preston, Brittany Bailey, and Jokari Miller, who boldly stuck their necks out to fight against the racism and oppression and corruption by this administration, only be attacked themselves with threats and sometimes violence, like what had transpired here this past month at the last board meeting. I thought we were supposed to be civilized human beings, but yet you want to send jackbooted thugs wearing badges to attack a man who just disagreed with you. So you're going to send jackbooted thugs against this gentleman right here, this lady right here, or myself because we disagree with you? It's just a simple disagreement of how this university is run. And yes, student trustee, this is personal. My mother graduated from here. My little brother graduated from here. My soon-to-be wife wants to graduate from here and wants to go here and grab her doctorate degree. But guess what? Because of the actions of not only this administration and the Board of Trustees in the state of Illinois, by continuing to allow these racist policies to go along, she can't even go here. She refuses to go here because she refuses to take what these students have gone through. Yes, this is a university that puts students first, but right now they're not putting students first. They're putting their own interests first. You're invalidating elections because someone disagrees with you. Elections, student elections, like you did with Willie Preston and Brittany Bailey. Are you a grown human being or are we 5 years old? You don't invalidate a student election. I saw the results. They won. And invalidated for some stupid reason. So I come here and I speak for the alumni that's not here right now, that could not be here because they have jobs. We love this university. We've gone to school at this university. We've received degrees from the university. We're not going to allow you, or anyone else destroy this university. First of all, you want to apologize to Ms. Bailey, Mr. Preston, and Mr. Miller. Drop the charges. If you have any decency in your heart, resign. And allow someone else to run this university. And anyone else that's been affected by the policies of this university, you need to apologize to them too, like Dr. Gomberg and Dr. Beverly. Otherwise, we will stand up as one, alumni, students, faculty, staff, in the community, by saying, we're not going to take this. If we have to, we'll run you off.
My name is Gerald Shin. I'm an alumni of the school. I got a BA in history from Chicago State, May 2012. I'm currently in the master's program in the history department. You hear a common thread, right? Problems with the administration. Then Vice President of Enrollment Management, LaShondra Peebles, came to an SGA meeting in December. What happened to her anyway? She just kind of went away. And she told us that the number one way to bump enrollment at the school was through word of mouth of current students and alumni. When you listen to the stories from the students here, and you listen to stories from the alumni here, and we see things like the lying, cheating, plagiarizing provost, the girlfriend in enrollment management, right? Students being jailed, student elections being invalidated, as they dare disagree with you. How do you then expect us to do what the Vice President of Enrollment Management asks us to do and says it's the number one way to turn the disastrous drop in enrollment around? You say it's students first, but the actions speak differently, most definitely differently. And you pretend and you continue to make excuses on why enrollment in the fall of 2010 was 7362. But this spring it was down to 5279. I'll put the rent money down. It's under 5,000 at the beginning of the fall semester. I'll bet a year's income against your year's income, Dr. Watson. Do it right now. Under 5,000 this August. Okay? And you think there's a disconnect between the two, between the scandals, between the way you treat us, and the drop in enrollment. But your own Vice President of Enrollment Management, or X, Vice President of Enrollment Management, the one who's not girlfriend, disagrees. Have a good day.
Brittany Bailey here. No, I'm just kidding. Stop. But I have a couple of questions. Why is it that we have a provost who plagiarized her dissertation that everyone across the city knows about? Why is it that we have a provost
who tell lies on students as a way to get them banned off campus to deter them from speaking out. Why is it that we have a president of the university who keeps us in scandals? We have Crowley, who just won a lawsuit, $2.5 million. Yet another whistleblower case, Meeks, I'm quite sure you all know him. And a student whose First Amendment right has been violated. Does she look familiar? Why is it that we have a president who tampers in student elections? Willie Preston won the Board of Trustees position overwhelmingly. I'm gonna tell you why President Wayne Watson tampered in those elections. Because he didn't want the truth out. He knew if Willie Preston would have sat in that seat where Ismael Reyna is sitting, the truth would have came out. He has a way of hiding the truth. A way of hiding the truth. But as my grandmother once told me, what's in the dark will come to the light. So please, please, Mr. Watson, you have to resign. If not, it's gonna get worse. It will not get better. The September board meeting, we will have students here protesting. There's gonna be a large protest going on campus because our voices must be heard and our needs will be met.
If there's no further comments, I entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Trustee Curtin?
Yes.
Trustee Joyce?
Yes.
Trustee Reyna?
Yes.
Trustee Smith? Trustee Young?
Yes.
Trustee Ballard?
Yes.
Trustee Curtin? This is the same.